Hello, thank you so much for joining me today. Firstly, before we get started, I would like to start off by acknowledging the traditional custodians of the land on which this podcast was created and distributed, and further pay my respects to their elders past, present, and emerging. I extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today. So, My Place or Yours is the name of this podcast, and a sentence that we are all equally familiar with in one way or another, whether it may be with friends or family, to our partner or even strangers. People come and go from our living spaces, our personal habitats, constantly. They can pass through momentarily without a second thought. They can sit down and form connections to the surroundings that you call home. And they can form memories in that space that will be looked upon for the years to come. However, before we can truly begin, it is also important to recognize the other side. That there are many people who go through life without ever forming a connection to a particular place, or that they do not like the idea of remaining stagnant or being tied down to anything, and of course, that there are those who unfortunately don't even have a choice in these matters at all. But with all of this aside, and after copious amounts of research, it should be considered that a connection to home can be integral to grounding, growth, and healing. And there is a lot that we can learn about the concept of home if we look at it from beyond a westernized definition. Thus, today I will delve into forming a greater understanding on the significance that Indigenous Australians hold over home, the land, and country. Now, not even Captain Cook's declaration of terra nullius upon his first arrival to Australia can deny the truth that this country was inhabited by Aboriginal people from upwards of 80,000 years prior. And in those eons before colonialism and before invasion, our First Nation peoples thrived in hundreds of different nations, speaking hundreds of different languages, where they were able to practice their culture and religion, which is called the Dreamtime, harmoniously. In fact, Sansom mentions in his article about the dreaming in relation to post-colonial Australia, is that a major part of understanding the significance of the Dreamtime is that it is thought that humans cannot live, cannot move, or even come to knowledge of vital truths by relying on sense perception alone. Hence why the aspects of this metaphysical spirituality within the Indigenous religion coincides with being connected to the land on which they are affiliated with. And if we compare Sansom's ideas on the significance of the Dreamtime stories to one of our readings in Module 2 of the course, Borowanga et al.'s chapter on water, or in the Yolngu language Gapu in Welcome to My Country, it is no doubt that the two coincide with each other beautifully. Particularly in the quote on page 7, "We don't get our knowledge from a calendar or a book. We just know. And it's been that way for thousands of years, from when the old people were still alive, forever." Now, personally, I think this perfectly encapsulates the significance of how passing down knowledge through generations allows Indigenous people to feel connected to the land and how they live. Just like the thousands of years that have passed of their ancestors doing exactly the same thing. And this ultimately gives the concept of a home or a place to call your own, an entirely new meaning and significance. Now that we can recognize and understand the level of importance there is in relation to the interconnectedness between Aboriginal people and their land and communities for survival, it is time to explore what can happen when they are taken away from it against their will. The way in which Aboriginal people were treated after the invasion of Australia is something that can never truly be made up for. It's inexcusable no matter how long ago it was, and in a way, it is still happening today. There is no denying it. They were stripped of their culture and assimilated into white society, displaced from their homes and communities. Children were stolen and given to missions and reserves. And they were not even considered human beings until the referendum of 1967. Now, this forced assimilation and displacement has contributed to the traditional knowledge and stories of culture and history, unable to properly be handed down through Indigenous generations, leading to the continued feeling of being disadvantaged and not properly connected to their culture. And according to Peter Reed's article on the stolen generations, he shares that the thousands of stolen children actually created hundreds of songs, poems, and artworks, and even oral histories to document their lives throughout the hardships of being removed from their homes and their families, and most likely to still feel some connection to the culture that they were being stripped of as well. Reed's information on calculating the approximate numbers of children who were taken and put into institutionalized homes and given domestic jobs, or put into, and I use the term lightly, care of the church, will prove to be almost impossible, as their records were manipulated in ways that meant they'd never be read or counted. This further demonstrates the level of displacement and abandonment these children must have felt in these times. And it is truly very, very difficult to even begin to try to understand the reasons behind why it was considered so wrong of them to live the life they did and express their cultural freedom. So though the times have changed and the Australian population has generally become more accepting of minorities, personally, I still think we have a long way to go on that. But if we compare that to, let's say, hundreds of years ago, we can see that the government's attempts of reconciliation and apologising for the treatment of Aboriginal peoples is apparent, but it also does leave some room for improvement. The ability to access the correct documents and the overall process that Aboriginal communities have to go through in regards to reclaiming the land that they owned for thousands of years prior with the intention to protect it through the Land Rights Act is almost impossible. And this, once again, is an example of how the struggle to express their traditions and culture remains at a high level, and that their needs are not truly considered a priority to the government in the scheme of running a westernised country. As we go through the trials and tribulations of life, each and every one of us makes connections to places along the way. We form memories in these places with the people who come into our lives, both good and bad, and we learn from our surroundings in ways that help us continue to live life to the best of our ability. Our First Nations people endured hundreds of years of assimilation, displacement, and racism to the point where some may consider it irreparable. And because of this, it is our turn to step down from being blinded by our own ways of thinking and just listen to what they can teach us about this country that we are living in. It was theirs first after all. And as we are all living here together, we should all understand this place before any more damage can be done. Because this place is home. A place that can help us grow and heal together. Thank you very much.